And just like that, here we are. Sunday Morning Sounds, the podcast, y'all. Been doing this shit since 2016, and we just now getting around to this podcast thing we've been promising y'all. Sorry. But, you know, motherfuckers got to do what they can when they can. But if you're totally new to Sunday Morning Sounds, we are a collective of folks who just want you to get all the newest hip-hop. I got tired of niggas saying, oh, hip-hop is dead. Oh, these new niggas is weak. This, that, and the third. Man, nah. Turn that radio off and do a little bit of search for yourself. That's all it takes. But I do realize people are adults, you know. They got lives. They got kids. They got all sorts of things going on. Niggas got mortgages, B. So I understand. So I took it upon myself to go and find the shit. Me and my cohorts took it upon ourselves to go and find the shit, man. You know, go and get that shit that people want to hear. And go get that shit that adults who want hip-hop want to listen to. We also try to take an intelligent angle on this shit, man. We try not to pump no more negativity into the space of hip-hop than has already been pumped. I feel like there's so many forces working towards the dark that a little bit of light. That's what that brightness emoji is about, if you've ever wondered about that. So, yeah, that's what we do here at Sunday Morning Sounds. That's who we be, as they say. But, let's get right into it. So this first episode is all about the history. Let's get straight to the root of hip-hop. So, the year was 1973. Give my goddamn grandpa storyteller mode. The year was 1973. The Bronx was ablaze. It was August. It was late in the summer. Didn't nobody want to hear no damn disco. So they took all they had, all the disco records, and they took the dance break on them. And they extended the dance break by playing two of the same records at the same time. 8 bars of the dance break on this one. Boom. 8 bars of the dance break on this one. Boom. Back to 8 bars. And they literally, on the turntables, figured out, oh, let me mark where the 8-bar dance break starts at. With a fucking crayon or a marker or, you know, grease pen or something. Little black and Puerto Rican kids. But yeah, the first night that anyone can remember the dance break being extended, August 11th, 1973. I just want to give y'all some perspective. That's not a long time ago. It's 46 years. Hip-hop today stands as the number one genre of music on planet Earth. 24 out of every 100 songs sold on Earth is a hip-hop or R&B song. So, not doing too shabby, hip-hop. But yeah, that's where it started, man. 1520 Sedgwick Avenue, Bronx, New York. A bunch of black and Puerto Rican kids. And DJ Kool Herc, of course, of Jamaican descent. He just wanted to dance. That's how it started. I always have to remind people that that's where hip-hop began. That's where it jumped off. So don't get too down on like the dance tracks and shit. That's in a sense the purest form of hip-hop, given what I've just told you. It was the dance break of the disco song. It was just meant to make you move your ass. Extended, like the danciest part of the danciest music was extended. And then a few years down the road, the good old MC comes in. And at first, of course, it was about the DJ. It didn't really become about the MC until the end of the 70s, going into the 80s, with groups like, of course, the Sugar Hill Gang popped off and stuff like that. The MC brought into the culture a whole different air of things. And it started as MC as, you know, move the crowd. Mic checker, anything you want to call it. But he was generally like the DJ's guy, DJ's homie, who would say, go, get your hands up, at the most. But then, the wordsmith, if you've ever seen the movie on Netflix, the show on Netflix, The Get Down, as they call it, the wordsmith, started to come around. Guys who had more to say and had things to say. I always find anytime there's a neighborhood or a people who find themselves oppressed, there's always art to be found. in these neighborhoods and these walks of lives. It's always art to be found. So obviously it was a natural progression to go from just grunting and hopping and yelling at the crowd to actually having something to say. And voila, the magic meeting of the two. Now, of course, the other two pillars of hip hop are breaking, b-boying, and graffiti as well. So as far as the full spectrum, they say there's four pillars of hip hop. It's the beats, the DJ, the MC, the dancing, breaking, and of course the art, street art. So those are your four pillars of hip hop if you've never heard that before. But really, at Sunday Morning Sounds, we just gonna deal with mostly the first two. But yeah, so there's the history lesson for you, man. DJ Kool Herc threw a party on August 11, 1973, and blew them niggas' minds. He was like, son, this dance break's been going for like 7 minutes. Where the fuck he get a 7-minute LP of this fucking Pacusa remix? So, there you go. No history lesson, man. What it is, what it's about. And again, I just want to iterate, dog. Hip hop. The shit is designed to make your hips move. Get your ass out your seat. Like, your seat's hot. Nigga. Like, that's what it's for. Like, so don't get too turned up off all that. Oh, purity, rap, this, that, and third. All this dance stuff and da 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 da. Nigga, it's party music. With your dumb ass. Where I'm at. Alright, we gonna move on. But yeah, that's a little quick history lesson, brief history lesson. Now, there's a conversation that needs to be had as far as today's rap and back then's rap, I guess, or rap of old. First of all, a lot of them legendary niggas y'all love so much was ass, yo. Them niggas was asshole. I mean, no good at rap. Like, them niggas was ass. Granted, they're still the pioneers. They're still the fathers of this shit. We wouldn't be here without them. But that Donald Glover, Childish Gambino said it best in his special Weirdo. Nigga, I went to the hat store to buy myself a hat. Nobody wanna hear that shit, man. Get the fuck out of here with them fart bars, nigga. Old heads definitely, like, the flow and the lyrics wasn't great. But they didn't know what they had yet, you know? They didn't know what they had yet. They didn't know what they could do, what they were going to achieve. They didn't know how far this shit could go. Not in the 70s. There was no way to know exactly where this whole thing was going. These niggas was just all flying by the seat of their pants on the low. But the number one comparison I always try to make between new hip-hop and old hip-hop is much more similar than we try to give it credit for. Now, the stuff is like, it feels so far out there and so crazy from what we're used to, right? And so different. Guess what? Nigga, when DJ Kool Herc took that dance break around for the 15th time, niggas was like, yo, what the fuck is this now? Like, this ain't the song, nigga. Let the song rock. I say that to say, it's always been at the edge, bro. It's always been like old heads, people older in the 70s. Niggas that like music from the 60s was like, fuck this trash. In the 80s, when Run DMC and them popped off, and Eric B and Rakim's and Slick Rick's and NWA's and all these cats popped off, like huge, I'm talking about like the big acts that had Billboard smashes, but are still respected as real, you know, hip-hop pioneers and forefathers, not just the pop acts, but so when these guys came about, the guys older than them, guys from the 70s, they wasn't fucking with Run DMC and them. They wasn't fucking with Eric B and Rakim, no matter how dope they was. You know, no matter how trill they shit was. Come the early 90s, you know, more acts are coming out, The Kid and Plays. Your Snoops, because are coming out the West. And your Dre, of course, was established by this point. And niggas from the early 80s ain't fuck with them niggas. So I say all this to say, bro, stop passing down this generational, like, hatred and trauma. Like, bro, the shit gonna change, because that is, in essence, hip-hop. Hip-hop has always been the art form at the edge, and that's why it's the biggest art form in the world now, because it's never been boxed. It's never been in a box. It's never gonna be in a box. So stop it. Just stop trying. It's not even worth your time to even try. It's always been the edgiest art form there is, and there's a reason, man. There's a reason. And it needs, and art needs it. So that's the reason, if you're wondering. Art needs it, simply because art needs it. So there's something I want to talk about too, when it comes to art and hip hop as it has progressed over the years. There's a big problem with the fact that the people who control what we hear on a daily basis, the guys who sign the rappers, are the guys who send the big checks over to the radio stations. And it goes like this: either you play this artist, or we'll pull this artist from all your, we won't allow you to play this other huge fucking artist that the radio station has to, like, I don't know who your biggest guy is, your biggest ace in the car. And that's how they force these radio stations to play bullshit over and over and over and over. What happens is the culture ends up being directed and steered essentially by components not of the culture. So when cats like Chance are making the independent thing really work and making an example for people, it's really important and special. Even if you don't like the music necessarily, it's really important and special, because the big businesses, bro, they terrible. They do our artists terrible. That's a different episode. We're gonna get into all kinds of copyright, 360 deal. We're gonna talk about all that stuff. That's another episode for another day, though. But what happens with these gatekeepers, right? And it goes back to hip hop being started, obviously, in black and brown communities by black and brown people. We know this much: America don't like black or brown people, and they don't want us here. They damn sure don't want us to succeed. They don't want you healthy. They don't want you to have a what you would call a permanent home. They want you transient. They want you sick. They want you stupid. So as hip hop developed, as any art does, any art matriculates, it grows. You know, it goes from toddler to child to adolescent to, you know, young adult, and then it stands up on its real feet and becomes a entire entity of itself and starts to transcend. And we're actually getting towards that now with stuff like Lil Nas X and Old Town Road and Igor, and like most recently with Tyler the Creator with Igor, like and it even reminds me back of like a Speaker Box and Love Below, kind of breaking the mold and shaking up what we think hip hop has to be, because it doesn't have to be anything. It can be whatever it wants, as long as you're putting words over bars. As long as you're putting bars over beats. Nigga say words over bars. Nigga, words is bars. Bars consist of words. The fuck? But goddamn, but as long as you're putting bars over beats, nigga try to act like, you know, this genre, that genre. Hip hop is much more wide than that. So what happens is these labels will try to box it, will try to use a segment or a sound or a type of thing to push the imagery and the sounds and the things that we hear, to push either a specific product that that rapper is associated with or likes or whatever, to push a certain agenda, to push no agenda at all. It just causes fucking confusion. To glorify guns, hoes, and pistol whipping niggas and throwing cash and all that shit. Because there really is a difference between storytelling of your gruesome inner city youth, inner city childhood, and just gratuitous, like, gore rap, bro. Like, this is a straight up gratuitous gore rap. And a lot of times they be trying to put that gore rap on because they, like I said again, they want you stupid, fucked up in the head, all these fucked up images of yourself, all these fucked up images of what success is. And they use our culture against us a lot of the times, man. They use our culture against us, and you just got to be smarter than that and be able to see it. So what happens is, whenever rap starts to work itself out of that shit, and like a almost like a knight in shining armor for the culture comes through, and he's about the culture, and got the bars, got the hit songs, they always, that's always when it turns and people go, oh, hip hop is dead. You know, niggas said that shit in the early 90s. Niggas said that shit about gangster rap. When gangster rap came around, niggas was like, oh, this shit is going left. this shit, they talked, he done put a shooting in a music video. These niggas are wild. So, I'd say that to say, when Chuck D came along, as good as he was, Public Enemy, as good as he was, and as smart as he was, and he had them hits, he had to bring Flav ignorant ass with him. And it was on some shit like, nah, you ain't finna get the same treatment or deal that you would've got had you, you know, not brought. So they made all that intelligence come with all that ignorant bullshit. And we love you, Flav. I'm not trying to shit on nobody. But come on, man. You know that shit was ignorant, dog. Come on, man. Come on, man. For real. So boom. All that brilliance and art and mastery of the art form in Chuck D, he had to bring this ignorant ass nigga Flav with him. Shit, okay. So the golden era 90s, you know what they call the golden era 90s, and it really kind of were. Shit was great. Shit was good in the 90s, nigga. Shit was good. But see, it should have led to even higher awakening. Like, things should have went even higher in the early 2000s. Can't do that. The gatekeepers, the old Jews that own music, they can't let you get out here and be educating and opening these niggas up to all these, you know, sharing their emotions and different kinds of genres and music's leaking into it. Dance rap, nigga. Take that. Oh, you hear that? Crank that Batman and crank that Soda Boy and all that dumbass shit. And here's the thing. I embrace it as part of the culture where it stands now. But you gotta know, that shit was a ploy, bro. It's always a fucking ploy. Soon as hip-hop get too smart, man, them golden era 90s should have led right into some platinum era 2000s. Like, that shit should have got epic as fuck. And it was. It was getting there. And of course, we got a few champions. They always let a few champions, because you can't stop everybody, just to be quite honest. You can't arrest all of us. But yeah, man, it really, every time it comes around to, you know, some really, really like awakening moment in hip-hop and an arising moment in hip-hop, they give us some straight bullshit. They give us some years of just straight bullshit, like how Kendrick and Cole now, to bring it to right now, Kendrick and Cole fighting all these fucking pill monsters. We know these niggas is trash. We know we not downloading this shit. Why won't these motherfuckers disappear? Because they being forced down our throats, yo. It's not your fault, okay? Don't blame hip-hop. Stop doing that. Don't even blame the niggas that's making it. Because shit, if I could yell some dumb shit on the track and make a few $1,000,000, you fucking right I would, stupid. But I appreciate the art form a little bit more than that. I'm not going to do that. I got a couple little bars for you, but that rapper shit crazy. But don't blame hip hop for the state of hip hop. A lot of times, yo, the people who pretend to be complaining about it are part of the problem. All you have to do is turn the radio off, turn to your fucking R&B station, and those old heads on the R&B station, even the new heads on the R&B station, there's actually really good new R&B, drop my pen there, really good new R&B out here too, G. So turn to the R&B station if the rap station is trash. You do the culture a better favor that way, if you really give a shit about bars and music and good music coming out. Don't get me fucked up, good rap music don't always mean crazy heady ass bars, but good music, which is what we about at Sunday Morning Sound. So again, a lot of the shit you see in hip hop, bro, is honestly not hip hop's fault. And a lot of the people who are stars in hip hop that you see succumbing to the bullshit about hip hop are honestly just victims as well. I have no clue how lost in the sauce they shit really is, and how fucked up that deal is, and how fucked up is making the kids as far as the shit these kids are singing about and stuff. So man, so ask questions is all I say. Ask questions. Don't be so who is this? But what's he about? What's his best song? You know, like, I don't know if I like this one. He got anything different? He got anything slow? He got anything faster? Maybe he got a shake a booty track or something? do we got a shake a booty track or something? You know, something I can hear? A riding track, something for the whip, you know what I'm saying? So, all I'm saying to my old head hip-hop fans, bro, is remember, your favorite, your auntie and grandma and them didn't like that bullshit neither. So, chill out. Take a fucking chill pill. If it's not for you, bro, move on. And goddamn it, if you're gonna be around it anyway and you can't avoid it, you might as well ask a question. Boom, that's what we here for. Let's move into the motherfucking next session. What the fuck going on in hip hop this week? Okay, so our favorite music this week is Sunday Morning Sounds. What we listening to? I can't even front on you, man. My favorite shit this week was that Igor, dog. Like, I fell in love with that shit. Riding around the city. I actually drove up Mulholland and shit to that joint. Went skirt, skirt, skirt through the hills. And, yeah, bro. That Igor is special, dog. Somebody said that shit is a 2019 Love Below. And I get where they coming from on, like, the sense of feels and openness and just how raw but refined it is. It's so beautifully refined, but also so raw and emotional, man. So yeah, that Igor by Tyler the Creator, niggas is gonna be mad. I don't necessarily say it's his best album, because that's personal to each person that's listening, but I will say this, by a long shot, it's his most masterful. It's the best of Tyler. The best of Tyler knowing Tyler. So, yeah, it's dope. Check that shit out. That's our favorite music this week. So, Igor by Tyler, the Creator. And now, for a little bit of news, niggas. Let's go into what the fuck happened in hip-hop this week. That's what we're going to call our news segment around here. So, what the fuck? Iggy's titties, that's what. Stop teasing her about him, though, dog. Like, stop talking about him. Stop sharing it and shit. Like, okay, if you see him, see them and enjoy, because they're gorgeous, but after that, move on, son. Don't be out here sexually harassing these ladies. The girl's privacy was completely unjustly violated and broken, and them niggas at GQ gonna have to pay. Now, I don't know if this is a PR stunt. I ain't want to put that up first. I wanted to let y'all know, like, I'm for real give a shit if the girl's stuff actually got leaked. That's fucked up. However, that last single didn't sell too well either, bitch. So who are you fooling with your PR moves? Also, this nigga DaBaby is busy as a bitch this week. So, like, last Friday, two Fridays ago, him and his team were coming into a club or whatnot, and a young man, and I seen the video. The nigga did reach. Like, the nigga reached for the baby. You know what I'm saying? And kind of, like, grabbed on him type shit. So, of course, the baby security hit that nigga in the chest, like, pow. You know, not even hit him. He, like, you know, stiff, like, gave him a stiffy, the forearm shiver. And hit the nigga. He's like, hey, man, get your fucking hands off me. Which he shouldn't have done. Because they proceeded to slap the shit out of a nigga. Yeah, it was bad, bro. They put the kid in a coma and shit. That shit ain't cool. Turns out the kid was actually supposed to open for the baby in the club that night. Shit's crazy, bro. Them niggas, that video is crazy, man. If you haven't seen it, avoid it, because that shit's fucked up. But if you want to see it, it's on the internet. So that club, what happened was the baby apparently had a clause in his contract that says if he and his team feel unsafe and insecure, not insecure, but unsafe, you know what I'm saying, if they felt like the security was not up to par at the venue, they would be allowed to leave and keep the pay. that shit don't sound right, right? So these niggas left with the 22K. I don't know how they even got the bread. I guess he probably, oh, a front move. Yeah, some people do a back end thing, half up front, half in back. Maybe this was a 22K for the baby, for one club performance. You know, it's quick bag, so I need that up front. So boom, he already has the bread. Them niggas dipped. After they beat the shit out the opener, Don Trag, them niggas dipped with the 22K. And now the club is like, hey, man, we need that back. So then, later in the week, the baby goes to spend that 22K, I guess, in Louis though. I hadn't even made that connection until just now on camera. This nigga went to go spend the 22K in the Louis though, and some local joker, goddamn Cam from the Cold Hard Click down in Charlotte, North Carolina, little rap collective, I guess. Just straight. I mean, my nigga, the baby was just standing there minding his business. Nigga Cam Cold Hard walked up on that bullshit. I mean, called the nigga out his name and everything. He was like, oh, look at the baby. He a bitch. For real, for real. Nigga in the house, they'd have poked you up. You call somebody a bitch, we got to poke you up, show you how much I'm a bitch, ho. So he lucky he actually just got his pants beat off of him, and a bloody nose, probably that nose ring he had in. Don't be out here calling grown men bitches and you rocking nose rings, man. I'm sorry, I don't say that. I'm not saying that make a man a bitch. I'm just saying it take away from the gangster a little bit when you lose your nose ring in a fight. Yeah, Cam Cold Hard got them hands. It's like the baby told you, man. Beat your ass up all in front of your partners and children. You better quit playing with this nigga because he whittle. niggas think because you whittle, you can't fight. Yeah, he whittle, but shit, apparently, we done seen this shit. This is not an isolated incident. He beat the shit out of this kid at the club, hit him once. The kid didn't go down. He came back around in the club. I mean, performing, mic in hand, came back around in the club and hit this nigga so hard a second time. This was like 2 months ago. So this ain't an isolated incident. This nigga the baby actually be out here fucking niggas up, man. So stop fucking with this nigga, please, dog. Like, he seem chill if you not fucking with him. He gonna fuck around and kill one of these niggas. The baby also get that 22K back, bro. Because you don't want to get into a space where niggas don't want to fuck with you on some business shit because your business acumen fucked up. You feel what I'm saying? Yo Gotti, speaking of business acumen being fucked up, oh my God, this nigga's crazy. I got to find the story so I can read you the proper shit. This nigga Yo Gotti, man, they settled in court for $6.6 million on the boy. I mean, 6.6 of them M's. Can you believe it? So, apparently, this shit started out as like a $20,000 feature, bro. It started out, it was supposed to be a $20,000 feature, and this nigga apparently went and did the feature. However, he wouldn't allow the release of the feature, and I'm looking for the name of the kid. Fuck, finally found it. The kid, Young Fletcher. Yeah, I was about to call him Young Ferg. See, that's why I'm glad I did my little scrolling for. I made y'all niggas wait. But yeah, bro, this nigga did the recording session with an artist, right? Pocketed the 20K or whatever. Boom, bam. Did the Young Fletcher track back in 2016 and then refused to release the song. This nigga instead recorded a very, very strangely similar song of his own and then tried to steal the nigga Young Fletcher from his manager. And tried to poach the artist for $150K. Gave him a little, you know, a little deal. Trying to give him a little deal. So this nigga Yo Gotti was moving crazy around this nigga Young Fletcher back in the day. Took the 20K, didn't allow the song to release. Didn't release his own song. Then tried to poach him from his manager. That nigga Yo Gotti moving wrong. He got hit with that lawsuit last year. He never answered the lawsuit. The judge awarded a $2.2 million judgment, but then said, you know what? I'ma triple that shit. Because you've been such a shady, shiesty nigga. Willfully unfair and deceptive acts is the quote. It's not over yet. Attorneys for Young Fletcher's manager, Michael Terry, say they'll also go after Gotti's cars and that crib in Bel Air that he be rapping about so much, if need be, to collect that bread. 6.6 million, man. So here's what's up. Niggas, liquid cash. Rappers do not be having 6.6 million, man. That's why Jay-Z be helping so many of these niggas. Because it's hard being a rapper. It's expensive keeping up the image, man. Y'all might as well just drop the image and save your money, bro. Hit that J. Cole 21 Savage move. That nigga 21 Savage be having one fat ass rock in his ears, and that just be it. Like, maybe a watch and a ring or something. But he be chilling. More of you niggas gotta chill, bro. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know what? I be the rapper. I pull up in a Terce selling you niggas. But I also just built a boys home somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I get it. You gotta do what you gotta do. But just know karma's real, bro. And business is a small world. That shit gonna come back around to you, got it? It always will. So you got away with the 20K. Now you in the hole for what? 6.598? Nigga, like, what the fuck? Like, was it worth it, my guy? Was it really worth it? So, there you go. Oh, and last but not least, on the news tip, as we wrap up this segment, WAC 100 and Mike Tyson. These niggas got into a fight on Mike Tyson podcast, and I cannot wait to see the video and listen to it. Apparently Mike Tyson, because you know that nigga Pac died attending a Mike Tyson fight. It was like the last thing he was ever seen at. It was the Mike Tyson fight in Vegas. And goddamn, this nigga WAC has apparently expressed before. I've never seen it. I don't really be watching WAC 100 interviews. But apparently he's expressed before, don't ask me about Pac shit. Like, it's, I guess, a touchy subject, we'll call it. Don't ask me about Pac. Simple as that. And Mike Tyson a champ. And you gonna tell me what not to talk about on my fucking podcast, G? So he asked him, and apparently he asked him very casually. He didn't come at him on like some fuck shit. But WAC, of course, took it personal. Wasn't gonna have that, you know. WAC a gangster too. He wasn't gonna have that shit, and they got into it. And then later on, WAC 100 was posting his pain medicine and said he had a headache. And said Mike Tyson's hands were still fast. I guess one more dub for Mike. That's probably what WAC 100 get for robbing that boy Blueface Blind. We ain't gonna talk about that. We gonna save that for the copyright episode. But you already know what it is, man. I'm your host. It's @_DanQuaid on Twitter. Hashtag Sunday Morning Sounds. @SundayMorningSounds. Look us up. We are on Spotify, Apple Music. The playlist is constantly getting updated. There's all kind of shit to hear and see. The Instagram is the best place. That's where you want to go. @SundayMorningSounds on Instagram. Bro, we've been promising you this podcast for 3 years, and we finally got it out. Episode 1 is in the can, dog. That's a wrap for this shit. Love, peace, and a whole lot of motherfucking hair grease. Y'all niggas take it easy. I'm gonna get on out of here. We'll see you again in about a week. Tell your friends about us. Sunday Morning Sounds. And before you go, we of course have to do a friends and family shout out. Shout out to BlueCloudRadio.com. Free in your App Store and Play Store. Get all the new music, indie artists, hot takes on the culture, fashion, all that shit. BlueCloudRadio.com. Holler at our girl Stephanie Megan at Broke Girl Therapy, wherever your podcasts are available. One of my favorite podcasts in the world. Shout out to you, Steph. What's up, girl? And of course, brought to you by our sponsors at Mean Mugs. This is the cross section of culture and cups. If you love coffee, if you love tea, or hey, you might love cold fucking drinks, you can get a cup with your favorite character, with your favorite image, with your favorite pop culture reference on the side of it. shop_MeanMugs on Instagram, themeanmugs.com. Get your motherfucking mug game up, G.